preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And we began looking at some of these things, these unsearchable riches. If you remember, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And you'll see why we've done that, how other scriptures help explain and how the depth of meaning in some scriptures is in the detail, how we compare spiritual things with spiritual. We're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 to get a broader and a deeper understanding of what these unsearchable riches are, these great riches in Christ, what they are. And we've been looking and seeing that it starts with the cross. And so we got to verse 8 last time, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 8. I want to resume from there. And it says, we're told, which none of the rulers of this age knew. So speaking of the wisdom of God, Jesus, God in flesh, in their midst, and they couldn't see him. They didn't know, they couldn't see him. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now this is not a pathos thing. This is not, ah, oh, what a shame, if only they'd known, they wouldn't have crucified him. That's not what Paul is saying at all. Glory to God. This is God's wisdom ordained for our salvation from the foundation of the world. Had they known, they would not have crucified him. Had they not have crucified him, we would not be saved today. He had to go to the cross. And it was the rulers of this age, the religious rulers as well as the secular, didn't know. They put him to the cross. This is all God in control, his predestined plan for us, predestination, his sovereignty, God in flesh. Jesus knew what his ministry was. He took on a body of flesh for that purpose.
Yes.
Praise God. There's a couple of scriptures again with this. If you turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And we'll start with, we'll go from verse 6 to 13, praise God. John chapter 1, verses 6 to 13, God, whose name was John. This man came, speaking of John the Baptist, this man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. Glory to God, there's a ministry. Through John the Baptist, who were being prepared, those who were called from the foundation of the light, to receive the Messiah. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. There's the light of conscience. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. We've just read that, haven't we? He was in the world was made through him, he's the creator, and the world did not know him. There's that ignorance. And there's a contrast. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. So you see there's a slight contrast there. The effect is the same. It was a deliberate rejection. But in verse 10 we're told that the world through ignorance rejected him. The world did not know him. But in verse 11 he came to his own. He came to Israel, his own domain, his own people, his own special people. And they also rejected him. They did not receive him. So God holds each one accountable according to the light that they've had. But here we are, praise God. You see, God's plan will never fail. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Praise God, he's given us authority. We are sons, we are children, we are sons, joint heirs, by receiving him. And how did we receive him? We were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. Nothing to do with man, but of God. Praise God. He explains this in Acts 13. That was John's testimony, praise God. But Paul explains Acts 13. This is this principle about not knowing. Not knowing. Acts chapter 13, and we'll start with verse 27. Acts 13 and verse 27, for those who dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not know him, nor even the voice prepared for censure under law. They had to priest for centuries, but they did not, or even the void every Sabbath, and they fulfill them in condemning him. But that's the point, that's the whole purpose. Do you see how God has got it all worked out, that even though they freely chose to condemn through their ignorance our salvation, praise God. Praise God. So how can anyone get saved? How anyone get saved? Well, if we continue to verse 48, remember Paul was speaking to the, preaching to the Gentiles. There were Jews and Gentiles. If you look in that chapter, it's too long, we won't look there, but the Jews rejected and the Gentiles received with gladness. And so in verse 48, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. Friends, we believe because God has appointed us to eternal life.
Amen.
Praise God. He didn't choose us because he knew we would believe. Yes, he knew we would believe, but that's not the basis. That's not why he called us. Mm. We believe because in his grace he opened our eyes. Mm. Now, you say, well, did we have a choice? Yes. But it takes grace to make the right choice.
Yes.
Without grace, we would have had that choice. Of course we would, and we would have rejected. Mm-hmm. It's grace that helps us make the right choice. Mm-hmm. It's because we've been called. Let's look in Matthew 11 for this. Oh, we don't know unless God gives us that ability. Dear friends, praise God. We believe today because we've been called, we've been chosen from before the foundation of the world.
Yes.
Nothing to boast in, nothing to boast in. And verse 27 says, all things have been delivered to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. And nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. Now, so that's it, isn't it? Really, pretty much hopeless human race. And the one, here's our salvation, here's our hope. And the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. So there's, from God's side, there's God's grace, there's the impossibility of man saving himself. That's all that means. It means it's impossible for man to save himself. Then we get the gracious invitation to which we must respond. Come to me, all you labour and are heavy laden. That's all of us. The burden of sin, that labour, that toiling, to just get through a day, just to some even to try and save themselves, but we can't. So Jesus says, well, put that burden down. Come to me, and I will give you rest.
Yes.
Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. Are we learning from him, dear brothers and sisters? Receiving from him. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls.
Yes.
For my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Praise God, what an astounding statement. He's going to the cross. How is that like? The salvation of humanity, the salvation of the elect. How is that a light burden? Because he didn't try it in his own strength. He did nothing of himself. He knew what it was, God in flesh. The Holy Spirit completely taking over. The Father, he drew strength from the Father. That's what we're to learn from Father and me, as we humble ourselves, as we realise there is nothing we can do to save ourselves.
Thank
you, Jesus. As we draw from the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we draw from the Holy Spirit, it's the Father himself strengthening us by his Spirit. Yes, we're strong in the Spirit, but only as far as the Holy Spirit strengthens us. We're not strong in ourselves. Strong in the Spirit is not strong in ourselves. And so as we bow the knee, as we acknowledge our need, he provides that strength. So humanity, those around him, did not know. They didn't know. And so that's why they crucified him. And because of their ignorance, because God in his grace, his sovereignty, we're now saved this evening, praise God. Our Lord suffered those untold agony because of man's fear, man's ignorance, man's pride. And we were there. I don't think, those people of that generation, we would have done exactly the same thing. It's the whole point. It was our sin put him there.
Yes.
His love held him there. Our sin put him there. His love held him there. Till it was accomplished. Praise God. Mm-hmm. And we can now rejoice in salvation today because of what Jesus did at Calvary.
Mm.
Glory to God.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. But as it is written, going back now, as it is written to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, eye has not seen, nor ear heard. See, these are the unsearchable riches. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him.
Mm.
Now, that means entered into the heart of man. Their imagination, their thoughts. And there's a contrast here between the natural man and those of us, praise God, who have received the Spirit. That's why the natural man, the old man, is crucified with Christ. It's the things of the Spirit. We have to become that new creation, that new man in Christ, in order to receive the things of the Spirit. Because the natural man cannot, as we're going to read later on. And so it hasn't entered in to the heart of man. They do not know what God, and this is what enrages them, especially religious, they do not know what God has prepared for those who love him. Those of us who love him. You see, here's the contrast in verse 10. If you contrast verse 9 and 10, they don't know. It hasn't entered into the heart of man, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Man doesn't know, natural man, but spiritual man does know. It's been revealed through his Spirit. Praise God, the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. So those deep things, you see, dear friends, we're looking at this because God is preparing us to receive end time revelation. He's preparing us to receive those great things. Now, salvation itself, all that comes with salvation, these things, you're not getting any more than you would have done anyway. It's salvation, baptism in the Holy Spirit. And whatever God has ordained in that precious gift comes out from that.
Yes.
We're not more saved because we're caught up to the third heaven.
Mm.
We're not. John wasn't more saved than anybody else because he got the revelation.
Mm.
Do you see what I'm saying? That revelation was within the gift of what God had called him to.
Mm.
Praise God. Mm. We already have all we're ever going to get, dear friends.
Mm.
Think on that a minute. Do we know what saving, salvation, and the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the actual indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit? Do we really understand who and what we have received with that precious gift, that anointing? You see, receiving greater or deeper or other revelation, whatever you want to call that, you're not creating something new. You're not creating something better. God isn't giving us like a higher walk of salvation. It is within the gift of salvation. We already have that within us. He's preparing us, preparing our hearts to receive it and to walk in it. It's a deep consecration, friends, that God is working within us. A deep consecration. I'd like to look here at Luke 9 with this. Luke chapter 9. Oh, friends, there are things, there are gems hidden in the Gospels that explain what we have it. And you know, friends, here's the glory of it. It's faith. It's nothing like we have to work up. This isn't a call to, like, you know, extra prayer and fasting. But I mean, if prayer and fasting is needed to get us to a place of faith, one thing. But at the end of the day, it is the faith, it is the consecration that God is looking to. So I want to look at Luke chapter 9. Praise God. And we'll start with verse 27. Luke chapter 9, we'll start with verse 27. I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. We believe that we're in that generation, praise God. Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, John and James, went up on the mountain to pray. Pray. He went up on the mountain to pray. It was prayer. We're not told from scripture whether he was expecting to be transfigured at this point, but his purpose was to pray. The business of the kingdom is wrought through prayer. God said, my house will be a house of prayer. You want to know, what is the business of the kingdom? What is my gift? What is my ministry? How do I make sure this thing of meaning business with God? What is the business of the kingdom? Well, prayer, friends, it begins with prayer. It will be, and anything else is revealed through prayer. Now, it might not be at the time we're praying. It could be a simple thing while we're just walking somewhere, just sitting on a park bench or just at rest. But we've done our praying is the point. We've done the praying beforehand. Praise God. So the first business, the first order of business is always prayer. As he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him, who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease or death, departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Moses and Elijah, temporary descent from glory to this earth, visible, to talk to our Lord about the cross, about what he was about to do at Calvary. This is fellowship. This is the business of the kingdom. Praise God. Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets. Moses, the mediator of the old covenant. Elijah, the restorer of true worship. And Israel, back to the covenant. Restoring the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. The prophet of restoration. Speaking to the mediator, the fulfiller of the old covenant, the mediator of the new covenant. And what were they talking about? The fulfillment of it all. Moses, who had to institute, you know, the Levitical priesthood, the sacrifices, and here he is now talking to the one who would fulfill, who would validate those sacrifices by his own precious blood. This is serious business. But Peter, now we're not criticizing these disciples, because look what God did with them once they were filled with the Spirit. Let's talk about ourselves here, friends. Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. But they hadn't had that revelation of what they were just talking about. Then it happened as they were passing from him. You see, Peter said to him, Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, for Moses, one for Elijah, not knowing what he said, because he'd been asleep. He'd missed it. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And the voice, see, that's the ultimate sanction, isn't it, on a prophet. And when the voice had ceased, Jesus was found alone. But they kept quiet and told no one in those days any of the things they had seen. And so, dear friends, how is it in this day we can fall asleep with the revelation God is wanting to give us? Through unbelief, through apathy, through fear, through a lack of consecration, we can spiritually fall asleep in the midst of great revelation. Yes. So what's the answer? How do we not fall asleep? Jesus has told us, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Keep awake. Keep diligent, vigilant. Keep awake. You say, but it's so difficult. I'm going through trials. I'm distracted. The enemy and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, okay, God knows that. All the more reason, dear friends, that as we bow the knee in that situation, submit to God. Submit to God, resist the devil will flee from you. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. John there speaking about sin, of course. But it's that sin, it's that hiding under the blanket of sin, it's those things that are done under darkness, under cover of darkness, that's what sends us to sleep. But as we pray, as we watch and pray that we enter not into temptation, God delivers us from those things. Oh dear friends, I can testify that it's got nothing to do with our own righteousness that God delivers us. Oh dear friends, let's look at that in Acts chapter 3. We're missing out on something so great here. We're missing out on something truly wonderful. Verse 26 of Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3 verse 26. To you first, speaking of the Jews, but also to the Greeks, praise God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. We do the turning, but it's Jesus who's turning us. Do you see that glory? It's Jesus turning us from our sins, from our iniquities. Repent. What does repent mean? We don't know what repent means. English doesn't help. But when you look at the Hebrew, which means to turn, and the Greek to change one's thinking, it's Jesus giving us that mind of Christ. Jesus changing us, changing our attitude, changing our way of thinking, our affections. And here we have, it's him who is turning us from our iniquities. The angel, when he appeared to Mary, said, call him Jesus. Why? Because he shall save his people from their sins. Oh, glory to God, it's him doing it. Hallelujah. That's why he's a saviour. That's why he's Lord. That's why this is redemption and relationship, not religion. There's nothing, you see, our deliverance, our victory, our walking in this glorious victory comes when we realise there is nothing in us whereby we can save ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. Faith, yes. And God brings us to a place, and he's given us that faith, where there's nothing in our lives except faith. There's nothing left but faith. That's a trial. Nothing left but faith. And so we run to the cross. We run to Jesus, because he's the one that's saving us. He's the one that's granting repentance. He's the one turning us from our iniquities. Praise God. Glory to the living God. So back to our text then. Verse 11. Let's start again from verse 10. God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, not New Ageism, not humanism, not Baalism, not all the stuff that's in the world, but the Spirit who is from God. We have received the Spirit who is from God. So we cannot any longer take counsel or comfort from the world, because it's a wrong spirit, it's an alien spirit. We can't think like the world anymore. It's just not in our nature. It's sometimes a great mistake to say that, you know, we're rebellious, or, you know, because we're human, we're rebellious, or whatever it would be. Not by nature. There is a rebellious aspect, but we're in a warfare, the spirit versus the flesh. The flesh meaning ethically and morally. And so that rebellion, all it is, if you want to stop being rebellious, if you want to stop being disobedient, if you want to stop all this stuff, what do you do with the flesh? Because the flesh will never submit to God. The flesh will never want itself to be cleaned up. The flesh will never agree with anything as drastic to its own death. We have to make a choice, and what we do, we will. As an act of our will, we choose to put the flesh to the cross so that the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, is then born in our life. That's the walk. Those are the choices we make. So, okay, rebellious. We rebel because we let the flesh have its way. But in our nature, in our heart, in our redeemed, born again, new creation, we love the Lord. Mm. We hate that rebellion. We hate that sin. We hate the things of the world. But praise God, we've that new, redeemed, righteous, holy, new nature that loves God, that loves the Lord. We now have the grace within us, the wherewithal, the spirit within us to choose to put self-will to the cross. Mm. We have that choice. Do you know God's love is, our lives are going to be so characterized by the Father's heart, by God's love, that pretty soon the will to sin will die. Mm. Oh, praise God, he's saving us. Mm. He has saved us. He's got hold of our life. He will complete that glorious work, that wonderful work, and the will to sin will soon be dead. Mm. Glory to the living God. Keep at it, brethren. Stay with it. Because the Holy Spirit is staying with it. He won't give up. And he's crucifying, he's teaching us that you have that choice. Obey or disobey. Okay, somebody's done the dirty. What's new? It's the world. Or it's sin that, you know, that if it's a brother or sister that's done the dirty, God's still working in them. But, you know, he has appointed them, because why? Because this is the cross. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, please. Because, dear friends, this is what it is to be a Christian. Are you hurting today? Has somebody said or done? Are you in pain, you know, spiritually, or any kind of affliction? A man or woman without trials, you know, are they a Christian? Praise God, if you're going through it today, then glory to God. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. We are fellowshipping, true fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way to know him. We've looked at that just a while ago, didn't we? These people that didn't know him. And we're saying now we know him. And we do, praise God, because our... So Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Philippians chapter 3 verses 10 and 11. We know him. Praise God, from what we've been taught by the work of the Spirit, for sure. He's opened our eyes, he's opened our heart. We've just read that we couldn't know him otherwise. But how deeply do we want to know him? Well, when we go through our trials, we fellowship with what he went through. Praise the living God. True fellowship. Now, isn't it worth it? The birth pangs of a woman in travail gives birth. I'm told she immediately forgets that pain in travail for the joy of human life she's now holding in her arms. How much more then the birth pangs of what we go through to know Jesus, to have that life in our heart. You know, dear friends, the great I'm not so sure about the word secret, but let me just say it for want of a better word. The great secret of this walk is to stop trying to live. You've heard me say this. Stop trying to live the Christian life. Let the life of Christ, let him live his life in and through you. Amen. Give over and let him live his life. That's what Romans 12, 1 and 2 means, that we offer up our life as a living sacrifice. Did you know, right, if you think about that, I'm sure you did, that is both the least and the greatest thing we can do. The least we can do is give him back what he's given us, namely our life, and we can't give him any more than that, can we? Is our life. So as we yield that living sacrifice, but do you know what stops that? That living sacrifice means that he then, at that point, he lives his life through us. Praise God. But you know what stops that? It's fear. The greatest lie of the devil is the fear. Oh, I don't know if I can do that. Oh, what can I? And we flee from the cross. We flee from that altar. When it's the devil should be fleeing, if we will submit to God, we can then resist him in the power of God. And it's the devil who flees, because for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And yet we're letting the devil destroy us. Something's gone wrong, isn't it? something's gone wrong. But if we can just grasp hold, bow the knee, we go through a trial, so we try and rise up in the faith and believe against all odds. Well, we will believe against all odds because it's the faith of Christ. The first thing, remember, the first order of business is prayer. When we go through that trial, when we see these symptoms, when we begin to see the Lord, you know, Lord preparing us for a thing. Friends, if the trial is getting us to our knees, we're in God's perfect will.
Amen.
We're doing what God wants us to do in that trial by getting on our knees. The rising up comes later, friends. When God told Moses, we quote that one, don't we? You know, Moses at the Red Sea and stop praying and lift up that rod of authority. Yeah, Moses heard that from God because he was praying. We're going to be hearing that soon. That rod of authority is sonship, friends. We're coming into that. And yes, I do agree, there is a time when prayer is unbelief and we need to be just speaking that word, speaking the name of Jesus through that sonship authority, but that's an anointing. We come into that.
Yes.
We believe for that. We come into that. Potentially, and I've heard testimonies of it, the day a person gets saved, they can walk in that.
Mm.
I've heard of people, the day they got saved, casting out demons, laying hands on the sick. And praise the Lord. Mm. Gift operating. Praise God. No limits to God. But after a while, we start going through a thing called trials. God wants us to begin to grow up, experience the fruit of the Spirit. And that cannot come just simply, and we just spoke it into being, that we love our enemies, or we're overcoming through this trial. Wouldn't that be great? But faith to grow, for the fruit of faith to grow, by definition of fruit, it has to mature. And the only way promised overcomers is through trials. But dear friends, don't flee from the cross. Don't run from those trials. The thing that characterizes the life of the overcomer is that they have lost their fear of tribulation. The overcomer must lose his fear of trials. And I believe that's something to pray about. That could be something, an issue to bring before the Lord, that there's still so much fear of the cross, fear of trial, fear of the pain, fear of what it will cost. That's a lie of the devil that has produced a stronghold in our life.
Mm.
We must, as we pull down that stronghold now, repent, because fear is sin as well, so we repent of that and begin to deal with that in the spiritual realm. These trials, that friends, do you remember in the Old Testament, three people were thrown into a furnace, and they came out because Jesus met them in the fire.
Yeah.
The smell of smoke wasn't even on them. Mm. And the people throwing them in were consumed by that fire.
Yeah.
Dear friends, it's not going to hurt us. The power we give the devil is because we resist in our own strength. When we learn this key, to just let go, to trust a fear of trial, but a concern of what we're going to lose. If I go through this trial, I'll lose whatever.
Mm.
You know, just a pride thing, isn't it? I'll lose face in front of my colleagues, I'll look stupid, I'll have to tell my family why. You know, all those usual things, right? We're afraid of what we might lose as a result of bowing the knee to God. Dear friends, we are going to lose it all, sadly. It's the cross. Give it up to God. Lose your life. Didn't Jesus say, he that loses his life in this life will gain it? Friends, what are we giving up in exchange for the fullness of God? Isn't the very thing that we're giving up the thing that would destroy us? Aren't we? Isn't this deliverance? Why do we call it sacrifice? It's deliverance, dear friends. Praise God as we give it up, as we yield it over to him in exchange. You see, this is the whole point of Galatians 2:20, that I am crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me.
Mm.
And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Him for me, he gave himself for me. It's no longer I but Christ. It's an exchanged life. Now, glory to God. Can't we just be that willing, just yield it over and let him take over? I know we are in the spirit. That's why we're saved today. That's why, praise God, we speak in tongues, we're saved, we're filled with the spirit. I know that's what our heart is. That's what the will, the heart, the desire is. But we're talking about the removing the hindrances, which is fear. There are things we're allowing the devil to stop us doing that. Oh, dear friends, this is the message. This is the message that it's no longer I, but Christ, because we're being led to the very fullness of Christ. Amen. Glory to the living God. And it's God working in us to do that. It's the Lord working that. Praise God. Back to Corinthians. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but that which the Holy Spirit teaches. It's the Holy Spirit teaching, praise God, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, because that's what we've done. You see, dear friends, if we could turn to Gospel of John, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, John chapter 8. Praise God. John chapter 8. Let's start with verse 25. John chapter 8, and we'll start with verse 25, please. They then said to him, "Who are you?" See, they didn't know him. Ignorance. Jesus said to them, "Just what I've been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him." They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am." I am, the word "he" is in italics. "So then you will know that I am, and that I do nothing of myself." Listen, the Son of God, "I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him." As he spoke these words, many believed on him. Now, what was happening here? The Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, he can only bear witness to the truth. The Spirit of truth cannot bear witness to a lie. The Spirit of truth bore witness to the truth that was being spoken there and touched the people's hearts, so they believed on him because of what he was just saying. And he now dwells within us. If we want to only do those things that please him, if we want to know that he who has sent us is with us because we always do those things that please him, then it's what we said earlier. Let the Lord Jesus Christ, who now dwells within us by his Spirit, let him live his life. And he, in and then through us, will always do those things that pleases the Father. We'll do that. It's us doing it. But he's giving us the grace. It's him working that in us, both to will and to do, for his good pleasure. Yes. Glory to the living God. But that's the key, isn't it? To do nothing of ourselves, but only as he shows us. And yes, there's going to be a lot of waiting, a lot of apparent, and I emphasise apparent inactivity. Friends, this is a time of preparation. As we spend that time in prayer, God will open doors for witness. There is plenty to do, witnessing and praying, fasting, seeking God, finding out your place and calling in the body of Christ. Plenty to do, but time is short, so whatever it is we're doing, we must occupy till he comes. You're familiar with that, aren't you? Matthew 24, to occupy till he comes. But it's being led by the Spirit, praise God.
Yes.
But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. So we've just spoken about witness. Now, we need to be led by the Spirit, because there it is. The natural man, those to whom we witness, do not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. We don't know who the elect are. God does. And those who have been ordained to eternal life will believe. Praise God. But most won't. nor can he know them. So we can't, you know, Bible bashing, you know, forget it, friends. Flesh cannot submit to God. He cannot know these things because they are spiritually discerned. So when will evangelism learn that? We must pray that one through. God will lead by his spirit. I remember hearing the testimony of Jackie Pullinger. You may be familiar with her work over in Hong Kong amongst heroin addicts. And she went over there before she received the baptism. Or before the Holy Spirit taught her, let's say that. And she would just go and just preach to everyone she met on the street. She would just preach the good news. And 90% rejected. And then the Lord said, right, now hang on a minute. Stand on this street corner and pray in the Spirit for 20 minutes, which she did. And then the Spirit led her to this one and that one. And the fruit was there. They received it. They got saved. They received the message. There's the difference, praise God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And wonderful testimony. Deliverance from heroin, friends, that's no light thing. He who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one, because they can only look outwardly. They can only look outwardly at us. They can't judge us correctly. But that word judging means discerning. Hearing what God is saying. Because why? Because we have the Holy Spirit who's teaching us. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Nobody knows the mind of the Lord, do they? That he may instruct him. But we have the mind of Christ. What is the significance of these statements? To have the mind of Christ means we have that way of thinking whereby we can receive the Lord's instruction. He instructs us. We don't dare instruct him. The natural man likes to tell God, likes to instruct him, but here we've just told that can't happen. Man likes to think he does, especially religious man. But dear friends, the mind of Christ is that prophetic consciousness. He is opening our hearts. He's preparing our mind, our way of thinking, to think like him, to receive revelation. Old Peter fell in a trance, didn't he? But he still, you know, he received that revelation of salvation of the Gentiles. He fell in a trance while waiting for food. He got that revelation, but he didn't understand it fully. It took him a while, because you know that thing with James, you know, in Galatians, where he was eating with Gentiles, and then James came, and he fear of man, he missed it, and him and Barnabas just separated themselves, right? So he's still learning what it was to be set free in the gospel, and how Jews can eat with Gentiles without being defiled if they're in Christ, you know? And he couldn't understand that. And so the mind of Christ is being revealed, is being wrought in us by the Holy Spirit to receive these deeper things of God, to receive the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mind means a way of thinking. So we think as Jesus does. Do we? Every trial, every relationship, every situation, do we meet that the way Jesus would have met it? Oh, praise God. Well, we're learning. God is teaching. He's getting flesh out of the way. He's getting fear. Mainly fear, isn't it? And unbelief. Fear and unbelief sort of hold each other together, don't they? So fear, unbelief, he's getting all that out of us so that we can our way of thinking is to deal with a person, to deal, we're doing that, but it's him working it in us, both to do and to will and to do for his good pleasure. Oh, don't, you know, let the world rail, let the world judge, let them do what they do. Our power in that is prayer. Don't be concerned, don't let the devil throw you off. Dear friends, God is preparing through these trials, he's establishing a foundation of faith for us to handle what he's going to show us shortly.
Amen.
Wonderful, isn't it? Praise Amen. God. Oh, hallelujah.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. You know, and if you are crying, Lord, help my unbelief. Praise God, there's your deliverance. Your deliverance, my friend, is on its way.
Yes.
Praise God. You know, that's all the Lord's waiting, is that humble bowing of the knee to acknowledge our need that he will then set us free from that. You can't try to have faith while there's unbelief in your heart in that situation. You know, you're struggling against the impossible. So the thing to do, we yield, we bow the knee. Deliver me, Lord, from this unbelief. Forgive me, deliver me, help my unbelief. And then we begin to find the grace flows then. We can start, we're honest with God. And we then can start believing. Bowing the knee to God, submitting to God, resisting the devil. He will flee from us. Oh, praise God. We know the Lord. We know him. And we're going to know him more because of what we're going through. And what we're going through is preparing us for even greater blessings ahead.
Yes.
From faith to faith. From the faith for salvation to the faith for being caught away, the fullness of Christ. It's an ever-increasing revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Do you know that is the purpose of revelation? Our faith is a response to revelation. That's why we said the other time our faith is all about the resurrection. It's creation out of nothing. It's the resurrection. It's the power of his risen life that is saving us, dear friends. Yes, it's the cross. Yes, of course it is. The old man. But the new man is being raised up by the power of the living God, the light. He's the light of Israel. He's the light of... Because it's his light that lights every man coming into the world. Their conscience is in a bad state. And the presence of the Holy Spirit touches that. And it's very unspiritual people, totally consecrated, committed, believing Christians, right? We'll call them overcomers. Can be a very uncomfortable experience if you're not walking with the Lord. It can be, praise God, it's a thing called conscience. And doesn't the Holy Spirit know how to touch? But praise God, here we have it.
Yes.
And so he's working, he's preparing, causing us to walk before him.
Yes.
Our dear friends, our deliverance is on its way. Our healing, the manifestation, we've already received it by faith. The manifestation is on its way.
Mm.
He's working that endurance as we look to him with that mind of Christ. Dear friends, these are the unsearchable riches of Christ.
Mm.
We've had a look at them. If you want to go into that sermon, I recommend you do in Acts chapter 13, Paul's first sermon. It's a real blessing. And maybe it's obviously there's not time now, it's too much now, but that's worthy of some real consideration. Maybe someone will do a sermon on that. It's a great blessing is revealed there of how to speak to people in the Lord, you know, the principles there. Praise God. Not that we copy another man's sermon, but there are some real treasures there that you can glean from, you know, for your own witness. Because he speaks there of the death, he speaks of Israel's history and, the, you know, coming from the seed of David and how the rulers rejected him. He went to the cross, but then God raised him. He just makes that statement, God raised him from the dead. And that's the message, 1 Corinthians 15. That's the gospel, isn't it? But it's all in that precious sermon there.
Mm.
So, praise God. That's what the Lord put on my heart, brethren. I trust it was a blessing. And, you know, let Christ live his life through you. That's what it is to be a Christian. But it means that we, if we truly love him, we lay our lives down at his feet.
Yes.
And he knows what he wants from us. He knows the life he wants to live through us. And all that we're going to receive, he's preparing us to receive it. Both the capacity to receive it and the gift itself are a work of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. So God bless you, brethren. And I really appreciate your fellowship, because I know you're going through it. I know you love the Lord. I know you believe him, because that's why we're in this time of fellowship together. And it's a real privilege, a blessing to pray one for another, you know, that we may be healed. Those prayers really prevail before the throne. You know, the prayer of a saint that's going through it, he's not deaf. Our God is not deaf to those cries. They will prevail before the throne.
Yes.
And you will see the fruit of it, both in this life and in eternity.
Amen.
God bless you, brethren. And see you next week, same time, 7:30 Tuesday UK time. God bless your week, brethren, and may you stay close to Him.
Jesus is